One morning in 1941, a 9-year-old girl looked out her window at a missionary school in Yantai, China, and saw Japanese troops pouring into the compound for these missionary children. And they began putting a seal on every piece of furniture to indicate that it now belonged to the Emperor of Japan. They put an armband on every child in that missionary compound to let them know that they too belonged to the Emperor of Japan. And soon thereafter, they marched those 200 missionary children and their teachers out of their school to a concentration camp. And as they went, the children sang a song their teachers had taught them. God is our refuge and our strength. Our God is the God of hope. The God of hope is with us. Therefore, we will not fear. But little Mary Prevett at 9 years old, despite that song, the God of hope is with us. God is our refuge and our strength. We will not fear. She was afraid. She was homesick. She was frightened. She was soon marched out of one compound down to a much larger one and became part of a community of prisoners, 1,500 strong. A world of high walls, electric fences, gun towers, barbaric sanitary conditions, and gut-wrenching hunger. And she was without hope. But she learned in the midst of that squalor that often hope is something that is given you from outside, granted to you as a gift by other people. And in the midst of the squalor and the fear and the hostility of that prison camp, she found three sources of hope. One of them, oddly enough, were her school teachers. Her school teachers challenged those children to look past the present and become children of hope. The children were challenged by those teachers to show up every day to learn. You can learn without desks, you can learn without books, but come with an attitude of learning and look forward to that day when you will no longer be prisoners, but liberated. Live as children of hope. There was another man, another source of hope. A man that all the children, everyone called Uncle Eric. Little Mary Prevett at age 9 heard he was kind of famous at one point. But all she knew is that he went through the camp organizing games and contests to keep the kids involved, to keep them challenged. He was always saying, keep your mind active, your body strong, your faith pure. And he gave little Mary Prevett and everyone else hope. And then there was the Salvation Army Band. For some reason, the Japanese allowed the Salvation Army to keep their instruments. And so they developed a victory medley. A medley that consisted of the national anthem of the United States, Great Britain, Russia, and China, because they had no idea who might liberate them. But every single day they practiced that medley and played it outside the walls of the Japanese commander's house. And their music gave people hope. What's the old saying? Hope springs eternal. Well, that's true. But it's more accurate when switched around. It is the eternal that springs hope. God is the source of our hope and has created us of creatures who need hope, who must have hope to live. Paul said there are three great universal spiritual gifts: faith, hope, love. And what you know about these three gifts is they abide. When you impart to someone the gift of hope, they can savor it even for a lifetime. As little Mary Prevett learned, hope is not something you manufacture yourself. Often it comes as a gift from someone else. You receive it and you're meant to share it. And the gift of hope abides. 60 years later, Mary Prevett could say, "When I think about those horrible days, I don't think about the nauseating squalor. I don't think about the gut-wrenching hunger. I think about the hope imparted to me by my teachers and by Uncle Eric and by that Salvation Band." We're made to hope. This summer, I preached a series of sermons about virtue. I'm sure you remember all of them. And I'm sure you remember what the old theologians used to say about virtue, that it was connected to habit. Virtue was connected to habit. Hope was not simply wishing that things were better. Hope was an attitude that produced a whole approach to life. Hope is an attitude. It's a gift to us given by God that strengthens our will and how we live. Anyone who's ever heard the great Jim Valvano's famous sermon, famous speech, "Don't ever give up," remembers that he started that famous speech with these words: "I come to give people hope." He said that because he wanted people to understand that hope is an attitude. He was trying to inculcate an attitude in people that cancer can be beaten. He was trying to inspire people to pool their resources to bring about a cure for cancer that might not save his life, but would save others. Hope is not just wishing things were better. Hope is an attitude that governs everything you do. When you're filled with hope, you discipline yourself in how you approach your life and every action. That's what little Mary Prevett understood. Those teachers who demanded of her, "Come with an attitude to learn." Uncle Eric, who said to them, "Come, commit yourself to activities of purpose and achievement, even amidst the squalor of camp." That Salvation Army practicing day after day after day, embodying by their discipline. Hope is not wishing. It is active attitude to life that governs everything we do. Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian, said hope is a good that's in the future, that is difficult but not impossible to attain. Hope is a good in the future that is difficult but not impossible to attain by the power of God. People of hope are the opposite of people of despair, who don't think their actions matter, who don't think their choices make a difference because they think they're fated to fail in the end. People of despair think life is absurd and pointless. People of hope think positive attitude, positive investment, positive creativity, positive sharing changes the future for the good. It takes people to embody hope sometimes in hopeless situations. And for little Mary Prevett, Uncle Eric was that embodiment of hope. Hope and goodness. You know Uncle Eric. Most of you do, whether you don't think you do. His name was Eric Liddell. Doesn't ring a bell to you. But Eric Liddell was the most famous athlete in Scotland's history. He was the Usain Bolt of the 1920s. Eric Liddell was the person who gained notoriety because he would not participate in the 100-yard dash in the Olympics in 1924, even though he was the clear favorite, because it was held on a Sunday. Instead, he ran another race. He was the most famous athlete of his day, and he had before him a life of fame and fortune. Instead, he chose to become a missionary to an obscure corner of China and ended up in that concentration camp. Even there, his witness was contagious. The Japanese guards wanted him to prepare their meals because they knew he would not poison them. Some rich businessmen managed to bribe a guard and get a great number of eggs. Eric Liddell shamed him into sharing the eggs with everybody. Winston Churchill arranged a prisoner exchange that included Eric Liddell. Instead, he gave up his place for a pregnant woman. Yes, the young man immortalized in the movie Chariots of Fire was worn down by malnutrition, by service, and eventually by a brain tumor. And as he lay on his deathbed, he echoed the words one of our youth read this morning. It is complete surrender. It is complete surrender. This man of greatness died in obscurity. But he embodied the fact that hope is a trust that God can create a future which none of us can see. And his life of hope sent a message to everyone in that prison camp that our God is a God of hope, and we're creatures of hope, and we cannot live without it. A few years ago, after Hurricane Katrina, the CBF sent a recovery team down to Biloxi, Mississippi. Team received their assignment to go work on a roof. They went to the address. Nobody was home. They went to the FEMA trailer nearby. Nobody was there, so they climbed on the roof and started patching. It was a big job, so they couldn't finish it. They came back the next morning, started working on the roof again, and a couple came up hand in hand. And the man yelled up at them, "What are you doing on that roof?" Foreman came down and said, "We've been given this assignment by the CBF," and he said, "I've never heard of them." He handed the man the work order. And the man started crying. The guy said, we're sorry. We apologize. We didn't mean to." He said, no, you don't understand. We lost everything in the hurricane, everything. And we were without hope. So we took the little money that FEMA gave us, and we bought two pistols. And we were in the house yesterday with those pistols aimed at our temples, our fingers on the trigger, when we heard the sound of hammers on our roof. And it gave us hope. We put the pistols down and we began to cry. And we began to thank God for blessings we could not have imagined. We are created for hope. And our role is to receive hope and to give hope to others in need. Now, only now can you come to this scripture and appreciate it. Paul says to his pagan friends, his Gentile friends, now Christians, you were a people without hope. You were walled up in a concentration camp of ignorance. You were walled up in a concentration camp of hostility, racial prejudice, religious prejudice, cultural prejudice. But Jesus Christ came with a hammer and he knocked down the walls. He knocked down the walls of hostility. And now, two people, by the power of Jesus Christ's encouragement, have become one family. You were a people without hope. But now you are part of the family of God. You are now creatures of hope. The Lord is our strength and our refuge. The God of hope is with us. We will not fear. Eric Liddell walked to the starting line of the 400-meter race in the 1924 Olympics, and an American trainer snuck up to him and handed him a little piece of paper. It was from 1 Samuel. The Lord says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And with that little piece of paper in his hand, he set the world record for the 400-meter run, and won a gold medal. But his life of faith and encouragement gave the gift of hope to a whole host of people who had none. That is our role. We who have received hope have been given hammers to knock down walls of hostility, to knock down walls of prejudice, to knock down walls of hatred, and to create one family of grace that receives and gives hope. That is our calling. That is our privilege. And it is through the hope given us by Jesus Christ that we can live with thanksgiving. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, we thank you for those people in our lives who embody for us hope, whose attitude of hope encourages us to do our best for you. May we claim that hope. And may we share that gift with those around us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.